The Holston Army Ammunition Plant in Tennessee on February 1st was issued a permit by the state of Tennessee and US EPA Region 4, a Cleaner Act permit that would allow the facility to open burn up to 1.25 million pounds of munition wastes yearly. And those wastes have been shown to contain as much as 15% PFAS by weight. To learn more, I reached out to Mark Toohey, who is a local resident just over a mile away from the facility, and a general sessions court judge in Tennessee who has recently got involved with this issue of open burning. Told me some amazing stories about open burning of munitions where there's large explosions and people's windows are rattling. To hear more of a story, here he is.
And all this open burning started in 2011. My wife Connie and my daughter Jenna saw it. Connie called the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation and complained. They were burning at that time, Spencer, they were burning quarterly burns that were these huge black tornadoes. They go on for 3 or 4 days in a row. And then they had, of course, the cage burns where they were burning rubber and plastic and what have you. And then their pan burns, which is the RDX explosive, which I presume is where most of the PFAS would come from. As a result of Connie's call, a chemistry professor down in Shreveport, Louisiana, he found that on the internet where they had registered her complaint. He called us because they were having similar problems down in Minden, Louisiana. He put us in touch with a lady by the name of Laura Ola, who lives in Wisconsin. And she put us in touch with a lady by the name of Jane Williams, who lives in California, and also Craig Williams, who lives in Kentucky. We all got together and formed a group called the Ceasefire Campaign. Miss Ola got Senator Tammy Baldwin in Wisconsin to introduce an amendment to the 2017 National Defense Act, requiring the Army to engage in a joint study with the National Academy of Science to look for alternatives. Not only were there alternatives available, they'd been there, even though we were told that they couldn't apply at Holston. About the same time, the Army came out with a memo saying that they're going to try to end all open burning by 2024. And they have since been down to Holston and they're going to try to implement two different technologies. One of them is the flashing furnace that would be for the huge pile burns and the cage burns, and then a static detonation chamber, which is for the powder. The first technology is supposed to be installed by 2024, and the second one is supposed to be installed in 2026. I just recently found out that PFAS was in the explosives. I didn't know that. And so Laura got that started, Laura Ola, and here we are. There's your brief history.
So you've been describing to me large open fires, controlled demolitions of munitions and other materials like plastic and rubber. And this is out in the open. And so you live just a mile away from these open burn sites.
Yeah,
It's
a mile and a half. In 2011, when those huge burns started, the smoke was coming in our house, and that's why
wow.
we complained and we left. My wife has asthma. We had to get out of town one time. Not as much lately since we've caused all this trouble nationally. Now they seem to wait until the wind's blowing the other way.
Which is
Probably
towards the
not.
river. You just sent a picture to me of the burn site. It's directly on a river that runs by your house, and it's surrounded to the north and east by small, like, neighborhoods.
Correct.
Has anything changed? You said this has been going on for decades. Have things changed since bringing it to DC and getting the National Academy of Science, Engineering, and Medicine there, when their report was released in 2018, has anything changed since those results?
Yes, it has. Primarily, they have started sorting out items and landfilling them instead of setting them on fire. And I forget the percentage of items that they said they have reduced, but it's, I think they said they've reduced it by 70%, maybe. I can't remember. You can see it on Holston Army Ammunition Plant's website. But yes, we have noticed a big difference. They still open burn, but it's not nearly what it was. And hopefully it's going to get much better. They said they should be able to get it down with these new technologies to about 5% of what they were doing originally.
And have you noticed any impact? You said at one point there was a large burn and the smoke was in your house. What impact did that have on you?
Well, in terms of medical impact, I don't know. I know that it aggravated my wife's asthma. And we certainly did not like the idea of not knowing what kind of chemicals we were breathing in our own house.
Yeah.
And I don't know what impact, if any, that may have had on us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had a couple of different kinds of cancer. I can't necessarily tie it to that, especially mm-hmm. when you live in a town that has three large industries and they're all putting out tremendous amounts of toxics. But I certainly know that with respect to the open burning, it was unnecessary. We were not going to tolerate that regardless. You know, this is an industrial town here. And you get a lot of pushback when you complain about the industry, a lot of pushback with people are afraid they're going to lose their jobs. And we had to kind of explain that this isn't going to cost them a dime. It's going to be taxpayer dollars. It's going to finance this. So their jobs are not threatened, but we still have gotten a lot of pushback as being, you know, why don't you go out to California if you don't like it here and that kind of stuff. East Tennessee.
Was there anything else you wanted to mention about the history of this open burn site or what's been happening recently?
Well, in terms of the history, Holston Army Ammunition Plant's been here. It was constructed during World War II to make RDX explosive, which was very important in that war. And they were, you know, they were open burning the powder, the out-of-spec powder. But that's just kind of like a little flash burn. You don't see that. When they started these huge burns is when we first became aware of what was going on over there. So in terms of the history, you know, it's gotten better and it's getting better. And I think it will continue to get better now that the Army has gotten behind Holston and is willing to fund this stuff and help them change what they're doing. I think we're going to see more progress. I did read the article that you sent me about the burning up there. And I was really impressed with how much more people knew about PFAS up there and mm-hmm. how much more the political leaders were willing to get involved. See, our political leaders here in where I live would not touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Wow.
They wouldn't even try to raise money to stop this. So that's why we wound up calling for outside help.
Jane Williams and others, Laura Olaf.
She and these other activists are amazing people. They've really, now, we would have never been able to accomplish anything without them. Laura stopped them from burning 13 buildings up there where she lived, a different Army ammunition plant. Craig Williams is getting a supercritical water oxidation plant installed up at the Kentucky Army ammunition plant to treat chemical weapons. They were going to open burn chemical weapons up there.
Wow.
These people have accomplished a lot and they've been doing it for many, many years. And I would recommend anybody that has a problem with pollution, call these people. They're very helpful. And they're if we hadn't gotten them involved, Spencer, I guarantee you we would have accomplished very little here.
Wow.
I mean, we put a lot of work into this and got them a lot of information and went to Washington and spoke and all that kind of stuff. But we just didn't have the political clout to get anything done in the political environment we live in.
Thank you for joining us on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, Judge Mark Toohey, and for describing your wild situation with open burning and other industry burning down there
in Tennessee.
Well, thanks for asking me to participate. And I'm always am willing to reach out and try to help anyone who calls us. Any way I can. And so is my wife, Connie. She got all this started.